If you've got a little story you need to share, pull up a chair, he'll listen. Despite of the name and despite of the logo, there's definitely no knitting on this show. Called Good, Good Yarns.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Good Yarns, a story and banter podcast hosted by me, Shad Wicker. Each week we get a new guest in to share us an interesting, fascinating, just a story, really, from their life. Last episode was a ghost story, a spooky ghost story with my mate Sam Bowden. Quite a fascinating one, actually, as someone who's a non-believer. Almost got me to come around, almost. If you want to check that out, as well as all the other great stories that we've got in the Good Yarns catalogue, if you are new to the podcast. I've also got a show coming up that's going to feature one of the stories I've had on this podcast about how I almost killed a backpacker while travelling in Colombia. So my social details are in the show notes if you want to follow me there to keep up to date for when that show will be coming to you. Planning for shows in Adelaide, Melbourne International Comedy Festival, as well as Sydney, plus some other great shows coming up as well that I'm sure I will flog to you guys once I get the confirm on the dates and the tickets are on sale. In the meantime, let's talk our guest for this week. Our guest this week is an absolute legend. I love her so much. Bron Lewis. I remember I met her, what would it be, like a year or so ago when she moved to Brisbane, where I'm at the moment, to do some gigs, to live up here, do stand-up comedy. And she was unreal. She was pregnant at the time, performing on stage, and immediately one of the funniest people that I've met. Such a great person to hang out with, funny attitude. And in fact, won the Raw Comedy Competition in Australia this year. Got to go to Edinburgh as well. She was a co-winner with a friend of ours, Alexandra Hudson, who did great. She's been just going absolutely nuts. I think she's a writer for some people now as well, and just such a success in comedy at the moment. And it was so good to have her on to tell just a quick little yarn about a fascinating moment in her life, a young teenage Bron Lewis with a head full of dreams. What am I trying to describe right now? Just basically, her story takes place in China. Yeah, China, long before everything that's gone down over the last couple of years, guys. But it's about just a story of going to China and watching your brother kind of get detained in a way. She'll explain a little bit more of it. What I love about chatting with Bron as well, which you might hear a little bit of in the chat, is, you know, it's always fun for me and my mates, we all are friends with Bron as well, is trying to catch her out in saying something, that might not be too PC. You know, if you ever do that, if you've got a friend of yours, like Bron moved from Melbourne, so I think it was like a little bit of Melbourne sentiments where you're like, oh, you can't, you know, I'm not trying to say that, you know, where you walk the line a little bit too closely. You might hear that a little bit in the chat here, but it was very funny. She's such an absolute legend, and I cannot stress enough, please follow her socials. They are in the show notes as well, because she's going to be a name you'll be seeing popping around the country. She's already been touring a show, Yep. She'll have a new one, no doubt, heading into next year. So this is Bron Lewis on this week's episode of Good Yarns.
All right, so my brother was – my mum had way too many kids, and my eldest brother's 18 when I was 15, and he said, okay, well, I'm moving to China and I'm going to learn Mandarin and I'm going to teach English. You know when people do that, like they go to an Asian country to teach English, either they've had like a horrific breakup.
Yeah.
Or they're in search for personality.
You're so right. It's never yeah. It's someone trying to escape something. What are you running away from?
Exactly. Or they're like,
I'm going to teach English to people in Asia.
Oh, it's just
because I'm passionate about it.
Oh,
no, you're not.
Oh, no, you're not.
What's the skeleton in your closet, mate?
What have you done?
That's like moving to Darwin.
Yeah, exactly. I'd rather put my arm in a ceiling fan.
When he was 18?
When he was 18, yeah. So he was like, oh, well, I've learned all there is to know here in Canberra. I might go
to
China. Yeah. And my mum, being the loose unit that she is, she was like, okay, bye. And so he went on a plane, went to China, and I was like, well, I would like to visit him. And mum was like, yeah, all right, bye. And so I went to China.
As a 15-year-old.
I was 15 and my guardian was an 18-year-old, which this is all fine. None of this seems weird to me. and I got there and I was quite a chubby teenager. So this is – and I didn't bring heaps of clothes because my brother was like, don't bring heaps of clothes. They're so cheap here. It's fine. He wasn't chubby.
Wait. So
what's happened?
Yes. Yeah, so you're 15, your brother's 18. Yep. He goes, I'm going to go and teach English over in China.
Yep.
Where in China?
Oh, I can't remember.
Right, just China.
It's like it's in China. But right. It wasn't Beijing and it wasn't Shanghai. We didn't stay in the city that he was in for very long.
Right.
And I got there and I was quite struck by the culture because everyone at that time, like a lot of the Chinese people would stare and stop and actually take photos
of you.
Of me, yeah. I don't.
You have red hair.
I didn't then. I had blonde hair.
Really?
Yeah.
Right. That's not natural, what I'm saying now. Yeah. Really?
You are an asshole.
By choice. Wow, that's interesting.
It is my personality.
It's like cutting your leg off because you like crutches.
Exactly. Fucking hell. Oh, God.
So you were blonde, strawberry blonde?
Nah, just blonde. Just like probably blonde. Horrific, like probably zebra stripes. It was early 2000s. It was cool to be the worst. Yeah. And that's what I was.
And yeah, I remember I had bleached tips at one point when I was a kid.
That is sick. So. Yeah, is cool.
So you got to China and everyone was like, whoa, yeah, people white
were,
woman.
Yeah, and they were taking lots of photos of me and I was like, oh my God, I'm famous. and then I went, but people would like follow us around markets and things. They followed us around markets to see what we would buy. It was amazing. I'm sure now it is completely different, but at that time, it was quite novel to see a silly fat white girl.
It would have been growth kind of China. The China we know now wasn't. It was still quite growing to be there.
That's right. And so this is 20 years ago. We went to this market one time and this guy followed us around and he was just mumbling to us and we didn't really know what he was doing. And it sounded like this is what he was.
Okay, you're going to do the accent?
No, this is what he was saying to us. I know you're excited about that. But
record.
He just kept saying, herbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurb. And we were like, what
I don't
is
think he was.
Doing? And what's he got?
I don't
actually
think he was doing that. I think that's what you think China, I think that's what you think Mandarin sounds like. Hey, bro, what's Mandarin sound like? Yeah, you know the herbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbidurbid
us, and that's fine. And then finally someone came over and was speaking to Mandarin to him and said, had asked him, my brother could speak Mandarin at this stage, they asked him, what are you doing with these white people? And he said, I'm their interpreter. So he wanted everyone at the markets to think that he was our interpreter.
Unreal.
So he was speaking the way that he thought he spoke.
So that's actually him doing
it. So he was the racist. And
that's
I was the victim.
Have you? I've always wondered that. Hey, like what? Yeah, what English sounds like to someone who doesn't speak English at all? And that does sound pretty accurate, actually.
Yeah, you're spot on.
Oh, look at me. I'm a white guy. That's spot on. That is spot on English.
I know, he was actually so smart. Maybe he was speaking English. And then,
so what did your brother? What was your brother's reaction to hearing that?
He was like, "Oh God, he's particularly mad. Just don't engage at all. Like, you can smile and nod. Like, let's go along with his plan."
Was he like a little old dude? Like,
no, he was just a little mad dude with a sick leather jacket. Like, he was obviously a cool kid.
Okay,
who wanted to be a bit cooler.
It's like I'm friends with the whites.
Yeah,
it's so fascinating because that's kind of like what white people do with other cultures.
Oh yeah,
like he was doing a white boy play.
Yeah, and honestly,
he's like the white guy among the black guys.
Yeah,
he's doing that with you guys.
I know.
I'm the Chinese guy amongst the white guys.
And I felt dirty. Like I was like, don't use me, don't hijack my...
I'm famous. Everyone's been taking photos of me. Don't come in and try and piggyback on my fame. But I'm Paris.
Exactly.
You're Nicole. It's great early 2000s reference too there.
Yeah, well done. But I didn't have many clothes, and so he took me to this market for me to get clothes, and they had like a few people following us, and I went into this clothes shop and this lady said something to my brother, and I didn't know what she had said, obviously. Mm. So every time someone would speak to him, I'd turn to him, and he'd often like relay what they said, but a few times in this clothes shopping adventure, he would just refuse to tell me what they said. And I was like, what is it? And he'd be like, oh, Bron, there's nothing for us. Anyway, eventually I said, what are they saying? Like, there's no clothes. I get it. What are they saying? And he said, you're too fat. And I was like, oh, okay, cool, 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 cool. And we finally found.
That's not how you took it.
Absolutely not. How did you take it? As a 15-year-old, I was wounded. I'm still wounded by that moment of the bullying, like the severe bullying. The interpreter did not tell me that's what they were saying.
Are you sure the interpreter was going, heebie-deebie, or was he going, hop, 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 hop? He just pulls out a trombone as you're walking.
Oh, no.
You know what? Like, that's an Asian culture thing for sure.
Yeah.
Especially, like, I feel like people that I know that are Chinese are very abrupt and, like, very straightforward like that. In Japanese culture, it's kind of similar as well.
Yeah. So it's not supposed to be offensive. It's just an observation.
Yeah, there's just blunt observations. Yeah. I feel like if you ever been to Japan?
No,
no fat people.
Okay.
Like, when I went around Japan, I was like, no one was fat.
Yeah.
I was like, where are all these fat people? And anyone who was slightly fat was apparently Chinese, according to all the Japanese people. Like, that's why I reckon they love sumo so much.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're like, how did you fucking do it?
So you either become a sumo or you die of shame.
It's like you're skinny like the rest of us. And they eat so much carbs. There's food everywhere.
Yeah.
None of them can get fat. They drink heaps.
Yeah, fine.
Can't get fat. But then when one of them does, they're like, fuck, we need to praise you, put you in a stadium. Take all your clothes off and fight another big fat person because you did it. You somehow pulled this off.
Oh, my gosh, it's so true. Yeah, so maybe it's a compliment. Maybe they were showering me.
Yeah, they were like, fuck, they're not saying there's no clothes here for her. They're like, get them off, get her out there.
You should not. God. So anyway, I finally found this shop that only sold like quite old lady clothes, like, you know, like ladies, like blouses and long skirts. Like they were bad clothes, bad. Like your strange auntie that smells like mothballs clothes.
So cool,
like,
clothes now.
Yeah, probably very cool actually. But at the time I was like, oh my God, this is so embarrassing. Thankfully, thankfully I never have to remember what I'm wearing ever again. However, we go back to where Hamish, my brother, worked, and he didn't work there anymore because they ripped him off. They took a lot of money from him, and they were trying to get him to pay for the books that he was using to teach, and they wouldn't pay him. Like, it was this huge weird scam.
Right.
Can't believe an 18-year-old fell for it. Crazy. Yeah. We went back to the school, and he just wanted to warn the new teacher, this is a dodgy place, do not work here. I've said my piece, I'm leaving. So we get to this school and it's closed. It's like 5 at night. So,
and were you going to fly out after this?
No, because I think this is near the start of the trip.
So he was like, I've lost my job.
Oh, yeah. So we were just traveling around China. So we got there. So he'd like,
he's like, I'm done with this job. Let's travel China together.
Yes. And so he didn't work there anymore. He escaped in the middle of the night one night because it was really dodgy.
And now he's gone back.
Yeah. So when he said he escaped in the middle of the night, I was like, oh my God, you're such a drama queen. Just say, I quit. Here's my two weeks resignation by Donut King. That's what I did.
Mm-hmm.
But he was like, no, it was really scary. I was like, okay, whatever. Anyway, we go back to this place. It's afternoon, no kids there. There's security at the doors. I'm still wearing these old lady clothes. I'm like, what are we? Okay, fine, whatever. I'm 15, as if I know what's going on any of the day anyway. Mm. And so we go into this school and
what's the school look like?
Like, it's huge, huge. It looks like an American school, but just in the middle of a Chinese city. So it just
it looks out of place?
Yeah, it looks out of place, and there's all of so you understand it's a school, but it's just it's bustling. Like, it's in, like, it feels like it's in the CBD. It probably wasn't, but it feels like.
So I'm picturing like Chinese kind of architecture, and then just
a this
flat block building. Yeah. Right.
And like multi-levels.
Okay.
And so it looked like something from the American movies. Anyway, we get to the door, the security guards there, they don't speak English. And so my brother's speaking to them. And then he said, he explained to me later, he just said to them, I just need to go in and get something that I've left in my room, because the room was in the school, and then I'll leave. We go into this room and the security guards are with us and they're on the phone to somebody. We go into this room, again, standing there in my old lady clothes going, I still don't know what's happening, but I'm very sweaty. And then the man who's taken over his job, Chad, he was this creepy old man with long nails and long, like, white hair.
The new guy to teach the children
English.
I think
English.
It's pretty obvious what he was running away from.
Yeah. And running into. Like, he was a yucky, and I was like, ew, this guy's... He spoke really slowly and made way too much eye contact.
Was he Aussie?
I think he was, yeah. And I think he was, like, from some rural town, which had obviously asked him
did
to leave.
Did he have a wobble board?
No. Yeah, he did.
The origins of Roth.
Oh, my God. God. He sang? He only sang? It was
Tommy
weird.
Kangaroo now for some reason? That's crazy.
Like, oh, my kangaroo. And we went... So he was like, oh, okay. My brother was trying to explain to him really quickly in English because the guards couldn't understand. This is a bad place. Don't work here anymore. You have to leave.
Mm.
And the guy was like, look, and taking too long. And I was like, oh, God. And then the guards obviously got some direction to take us somewhere else. Anyway, Hamish was like, bro, we have to run. I'm like, run. Okay. Yeah, run. And so I was like, oh, okay. And I'm wearing a long flowing floral skirt. I was like, oh, God, okay.
We start running
and the guards are chasing us, and then the guards take my brother, like one arm each, and then another guard comes around, pushes me out of the door, and then they lock it. And all I can hear is my brother being like dragged down this hallway, like yelling, run, run,
holy run! Shit.
Run! And I'm standing there in this, like, this really busy, super foreign.
Dressed like shit.
Exactly. The reason why I explain my outfit is because it's like this entire traumatic time, I'm wearing like Arnie Faye's clothes and I'm 15. Like, everything about the clothes are important. Anyway, I'm like, oh my God. Okay, cool. This is, what do I do? Like, I don't have a phone. I don't know how to speak Mandarin. No one in the town that we're in spoke any English that I could find.
Well, anyway. Hang on. There was one guy that does speak English. Let's not forget. I'm pretty sure he's around here somewhere.
God,
he's waiting.
Right. Where did he go? I can't believe I forgot him so quickly.
He's upstairs teaching the other English class.
Oh, gosh. So then I'm standing at this really like existential moment where I am standing in clothes that aren't mine and stand like, you know, a city that isn't mine, surrounded by people who don't. I'm like, I'm 15 years old. I do not know what to do right now.
Yeah.
And then out of over the fence, I don't know why he went this way. The old man scaled the fence and came over to me and was like, I heard what's happened.
Why has he climbed the fence?
I have no idea. And it was tall as well. I think he just used his nails. I think he just had these fucking talons.
What, he can't.
Refused to use a door.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like he just climbs. So you're just standing there. What do I do? Your brother's in the background. Run. And he's just like.
Yeah.
This fucking shitty Spider-Man climbs over the fence.
He's like, I know what to do.
I know what to do.
I'll climb this fence and I'll go see that very terrified child. So he comes over and he said, it looks like it's time for us to retire to the cafe. Like, he spoke like that. We must retire to the cafe over the road.
I'm glad he said cafe. If he said any other room, I'd be like, no, not at all.
And he
retire. That's what he said, like retire to the bedroom
exactly.
Or something. What the
he
fuck?
He was creepy. I felt so unsafe around him. But I was like, well, you're the only person who speaks English and I've got no other options right now. And it was getting dark. And so I went and we sat at this cafe with this man. And he had really long nails, like I mentioned that already, but his pinkies were painted purple. And I don't know what any of it meant, but I sat there staring at his horrible, spindly little hands, trying to work out why has someone stolen my brother? But more importantly, why doesn't he cut his nails?
Like so I can scale the fences. So
exactly. Oh my God. And so, but I was really, really hours past Chad. Hours.
And really? And you're just in this cafe?
Yeah. And I'm like, well.
Did you talk to this guy about anything?
He just gave me his life story and it was all of it. You know when you can tell someone's making something up because they're the hero in every single story? He was proper mad.
Yeah, right.
So I had to sit there and listen to him and how he'd like basically saved a village. He was just, you know, doing this very, like, and he had heaps of qualifications, but he was doing this very underpaid teaching job in but fuck nowhere, China, just, you know, to help the people. Eventually the window opens up in this building and I can just hear Hamish going, run, run, run. And I was like, I don't know where. I was like, oh my God, I still don't know when we're supposed to run. And then eventually I was like, I just have to go. I'm just going to go in there because the guy was making me feel really uneasy. It was dark by this stage. I'm like, I'm just going to go in. Walk up to the door and it has this big chain around it. And so I knock on it for a while, no one comes. And then I just pick the chain up and put it on the ground.
This is making the fence scaling seem even more so to the top. The guys in the cafe is like, oh.
I have no doubt he scaled the fence to get back in as yeah. well. It's way more fun. But I walked in, so I'm walking, all the lights are off, and so I'm walking through this dark school like, hey, Mish, nothing. I walk up the stairs, and then this guard was there and he started yelling at me, and I was like, I don't understand what I'm supposed to do or what you're saying. Hamish came to the door and he was like, come in. And we sat on the couch and there was all of these really, really tough looking, angry security guards, one policeman. They're all kind of like yelling at Hamish, and this one tiny little villainous woman. Like, she was teeny weeny and she had like, she was so thin and she was so angry, had bright red lipstick. And I'm almost certain she was smoking, but I don't know now. I feel like I wish she was. And it made sense that she was. And she was kind of like yelling at him about something, like every now and then coming yelling at him. And then Hamish said, okay, well, actually I might just call the police. And eventually, this is hours later after him being there, eventually they went, oh, okay, you can go then. And then we just stood up and then walked down the hall and then
like nothing
left.
Had happened.
And then just left. And then nothing had happened. But it was hours. But it was like, I honestly thought that I was going to have to sleep in the cafe. Or I was like, well, I work here now.
Yeah, jump behind the camera.
I hope they were looking out. I hope they were searching for a 45-year-old sweaty white woman who who won't be able to speak to the customers.
They're like, let's get that chubby white girl.
Yeah,
this.
Exactly.
Little
yeah.
auntie.
Yeah.
Oh,
oh my god, I was terrifying. But I do remember coming home and explaining the story to Mum, thinking that she would say like, oh, I probably shouldn't have sent you over at 15. Mm. She was like, oh, that's nice. I'm like, no, Mum, you've not listened to a word I've said. She was like, oh, it's experiences are good.
And you kept travelling after that?
Yeah, but I was really shaken about by that because I think I'd realised just how useless I was. You know, as a white person, like wandering through, because I went to a private school in Canberra, so I was like, I am untouchable. Like, my privilege was revolting and it was just seeping out of me everywhere. And then also as a kid, kids just think that everyone's going to catch them when they fall. They do. I've got three of them and they're useless and they always fall. And if I don't catch them, they're so angry at me. They're like, they betrayed. They're like, you were supposed to fix my mistakes, you asshole. And so when obviously bleeds into when you're a teenager, and sometimes people never grow out of it. But I remember being 15, being like, how am I in this situation? Why is no one saving me right now? Why is this man with purple pinkies just sitting here telling me this stuff?
Man, do you reckon that's why you hate so many Chinese people now?
Oh my god.
Is that the story? Is that how the story ends?
I would like my interpreter, please. Oh my god, I was nervous. And no, in full transparency, I was very. We went to Hong Kong once I was an adult, and I had the two kids, and we stayed there for a month. Lucas had to work, my partner, and I remember going to this it was called like Water World or something. And the kids were too little to go on any of the rides. The rides are all for grown-ups. What the fuck kind of place is that? Grow up. But anyway, I was like, okay, fine. But I went. There was a lot of mainland Chinese people who would come to this amusement park, and I could tell they were mainland Chinese people because they were really invasive. Not all of them, thank you. # not all of them. But I could tell there was a different vibe. With a really up in my girl taking photos. One unclicked Edie out of her pram and picked her her up, and then they were having all these photos with her, and I was like, please can you put my baby down? Like you're an attraction. Yeah, we were the most interesting thing there. But I remember feeling quite triggered in that moment, being like, oh God, here's the moment where I get captured again.
And you just went, run! Run, kids!
Run!
Find the old man with his nails painted. And he comes climbing over the fence. I knew you'd be back.
Oh my God. Yeah, why did he scale the fence?
So weird. So there you go. Bron Lewis on Good Yarns, Stories and Banter, No Knitting. Speaking of banter, I'm going to drop a little bonus episode this week of some of the weird topics and conversation that Sam Bowden and I were having before we recorded his story. It's something that I did on a couple of these recording sessions that I thought, hey, I'll just chuck out a few more of just the general chats that I have with some of these guests. I've been asked about them a few times from people that have followed the podcast in the past. So there'll be a little bit of, I'll call them banter eps because that's kind of in the title of the podcast. But there'll be a little bonus ep dropping later this week with Sam Bowden having a chat. But that was a great story from Bron Lewis. Got a little bit scary for you there. I wonder what that man is up to, the crazy long-nailed weird fence climbing teacher. But as I said at the beginning of the podcast, please follow Bron Lewis, check out her stuff. And if she's coming to a city near you, please go and catch her live. You won't regret it. I'll see you next week for another episode of Good Yarns.